Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hour on a Thursday afternoon. Always great to say hello to Chris Lowe from ESPN. A number of subjects we would like to talk to him about. But first, how Tennessee is expanding its reach. It's one thing to win your state. It's another thing to be relevant in your region, but now Tennessee is going global. Chris Lowe joining us with a story about how a Nigerian player by way of London made it to Rocky Top. Chris, good afternoon. Thank you for being here. Much to discuss. Let's start with the University of Tennessee and the latest story. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I think the sport of football is continue to expand globally, and certainly the NFL is a big part of that. And Tennessee, Georgia, a couple of schools in the SEC who had interest in this young man, Emmanuel Okoye, a name that for football fans, the Okoye name ought to ring familiar. Well, I think the best nickname ever, Christian Okoye, back with the Chiefs, and I'm showing my age, Paul, Nigerian nightmare, with the big shoulder pads, playing fullback for the Chiefs. And this young man also coming from Nigeria originally. And Uyera, the Super Bowl champ for the Giants, has sort of been the conduit, trying to identify kids over in Africa who have the kind of athletic ability. Now, granted, you know, football is not a sport that they're playing from the time they're kids, the way kids in America do. But this kid really stuck out. Osi is really, really high on him, thinks he's got a chance to be a really good player. And he was noticed by the scout, the Uprising program over there, and then was sent to another camp and ended up at the NFL Academy in England, and actually played a couple games last year. Played, I think, three football games, organized football in his life, Paul.
How do you end up signing a young man like this? What do you need to do? It's not like you can just make an in-home visit very easily, can you?
He actually did visit. He visited Tennessee and Texas Tech and USC all during April. I think he was at Tennessee during the Vol spring game. And he sort of burst onto the scene. Initially, it was going to be a 2024 class kid, reclassified, and is planning on enrolling this summer. But his athletic ability jumped off the charts at the NFL Academy. Some of the testing they do, which mirrors the testing they do at the NFL Combine, he had unreal numbers, like a 45-inch vertical jump, 11-foot, 3-inch broad jump. He's got a wingspan, Paul. If you go on, if you Google this kid's name again, Emmanuel Okoye, go find a picture of him with his arms stretched out. He's got a wingspan that looks like an NBA player that's 6'9 or 6'10. It's incredible. Now, he's got to learn to play the game. I don't know that he'll be ready from a football standpoint to play next year, but certainly he has all the skills and the athletic ability to be a guy that has a chance.
Chris Lowe with us. Chris, I remember speaking to you a year ago today. You were literally all over and in the middle, and then some, of the now famous Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher kerfuffle. A year later, it seems like it's a blur. It was one of the biggest stories ever in college football, and it went away like a comet in the night. Your thoughts back to that moment in time?
You know this as well as anybody. Nick Saban doesn't do or say anything without a purpose. I mean, he doesn't just randomly start talking about something or a subject or weigh in. If he's doing that, there's always going to be a method or a reason. I know he is not a big fan of NIL being used to entice players out of high school. I think he's fine paying kids once they get there and earn it, a la Bryce Young, those type kids. When you see this, and I'm talking about the money that's being paid, and in some cases I think it's bogus, some of the amounts that are out there. I don't believe some of the figures. I think he was sending a message to his people. Listen, if this is the way it's going to be, we need to get on board. You know, I don't care how many titles we've won. I don't care how many number one recruit classes we've hauled in. The game has changed. We need to change with it. And no one has evolved and adapted over the last 15 years better than Nick Saban. It's almost when it's eerily similar, Paul, to when offenses were going, started to go fast and spread out teams. And defensively, Alabama wasn't faring as well against those offenses. And what was Nick Saban's, remember his phrase, is this what we want football to be? Well, yeah. And he brought in a bunch of guys, Lane Kiffin in particular. He retooled his offense, Sarkisian, Loxley, all those guys were a big part of that. And he adapted. I think he's doing the same thing and will continue to do the same thing with NIL.
Chris, speaking of Saban, we had a caller yesterday that said her best friend ran into Saban in Rome. And the idea of Nick Saban being away for a week and a half or 2 weeks, even with his family, even for something I know they've been planning for some time. What do you think it's been like for him over there? Wanting to enjoy himself, which sounds somewhat incredible in and of itself. I mean, you know him very well. Give us at least a make-believe peek into his mind and his state of mind over there in Italy right now.
Well, can't you see him now in the Roman Coliseum, arms folded, walking back up and down, sort of pacing, calling a blitz?
Yes.
You know, it's funny. Some pictures have already popped up on the internet, on social media, people just running into him. And you're right. I think he's going to be over there for 2 weeks. Been playing. He's got his whole family over there. This is the longest he's been away in total from the facility, from football, since he's been there. And, you know, when I first heard about this, I asked some people close to him, is he going to be climbing the walls after 2 or 3 days? You remember what it was like when he had to stay home for COVID?
Right.
And the second day, he told me himself he was about to climb the walls. But, you know, the more I've talked to people and close to him, I think this is something he will enjoy. He might talk about he needs to get back or, you know, all this is going on without him. I think this is something at his age, at this point in his career, his whole family's over there, that he'll have a lot more fun and enjoy it probably a lot more than he'll ever let on. And, again, I think a part of it is just sort of where he is and just getting away for a little bit. I know he feels really good about his staff. He retooled his staff. I think that tells you something, that he's willing to get away for 2 weeks, that not just his coordinators, but his entire staff, his support staff, that he's got in place there, and that he's good to do that.
Did the troopers go with him? The idea of Alabama State troopers walking with him as he's greeting the Pope, I don't know that's just kind of a weird sight, isn't it?
You know, the thing I didn't check, his closest confidant, Cedric, might be over there with him.
He has to be.
I'm joking.
As you know better than
Cedric
anyone.
Cedric goes back to Bear Bryant days. I mean, he's an institution there, Alabama.
Burns, what do you have? He has the gum. He has he's got like 10 different things in his hand, you know, ready to hand Coach Saban at all times. It would be entertaining to get the feedback from this, and I mean, obviously, I've heard two or three different people that have run into him, and the trip is fairly young.
Oh, I'm sure Miss Terry's taking pictures. There'll be some pictures out there to be seen at some point. We'll have to do our due diligence to get some of those. But no, I mean, I'm serious. I think this is something that down deep he was looking forward to. It's something he hasn't done. I mean, he goes to he's bought a new place. And he gets away. He loves to play golf in the off season. Get away. He loves to boat. Get on the water. But we're talking typically, you know, 3, 4, 5 days. I never remember him doing this for 2 weeks or close to 2 weeks, which he's done here. And I'll be interested when I see him. I think I'm supposed to catch up with him in June and hear some of the stories.
Cannot wait. Chris Lowe, see you soon, Chris. Thanks very much for dropping by. Chris Lowe with the latest on Tennessee recruiting. And where in the world is Nick Saban today? We'll take a short break. Your phone call is right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we're back. AC is up next. Good afternoon, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you very much for taking my call. How are you feeling?
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, last night you had, drunk Larry called me out. I'm going to leave him alone. He's drunk. What am I going to do? You cannot help him. But Joe in Red Bay, I remember he said about 3 months ago, I don't listen to AC's call. Now, how did he end up listening to my call last night? I thought he doesn't listen to me. I thought he doesn't listen to Jeff in Columbus. I mean, that's what I know. But then you had your cockroach, not mine. I'm talking about AJ. You know, AJ, you're just like the Auburn Tigers, a sore loser. Always was, always will be. Alabama's going to beat you again and again. Jim is going to beat you up again and again. Legend is going to beat you up again and again. And you're going to be my little cockroach. You're going to be Mr. Feinbaum's cockroach. And we're going to take our feet and squash you like a little bug. That's what's going to happen to you. If you want to mess with me, go listen to what I did to Toucher and Rich last week. It will give you some idea. Please, you cannot hang with me. I'm Mr. Feinbaum. I love you. Holla.
Don't really know what he's saying there at the end, nor does it really matter. Terrence is up next. Hey, Terrence.
Doing, Ms. Feinbaum, first-time caller.
We are doing great.
I got two questions for you, sir.
Go right.
Do you think Tennessee will go undefeated this year, beat Georgia finally and A&M? And why don't you trip for your volunteers like you should?
What was that again, Terrence?
I said, hold on, let me cut some things out. I said, do you think Tennessee will finish number one in the East this year?
No, I don't. I think we're looking at pretty similar to last year with Georgia number one, and I think Tennessee would be a pretty close second.
Oh, okay. That don't sound too good to me. And I got one more question for you, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
Why don't you know where your Tennessee Orange?
Well, I went to school there, but I try to be objective when I talk about. Hey, thanks very much. Look who's here, Coach. Great to see you.
How you doing?
We have a confusion here, but we are not stopping because we want to make sure we say hello to Coach Mason, Derek Mason, joining us, the former Vanderbilt coach who is dropping in today and updating us on what in the world we saw you on the sidelines of the Big 12. We saw you at Auburn. What's going on in your life?
You know what? I'm spending some time immersing myself in football. I'm away from the game right now, but really just taking time to study the game, student of the game. I've had a chance to get to Georgia, had a chance to get out to a couple of schools just to really just further my knowledge about what teams are doing. Nowadays, I know the game's changed a little bit, so I'm just trying to be a student of the game.
Well, that's fantastic. I think it's probably good. Very few people do it, but right. What's it like to finally, you've seen it from all sides as a head coach, as a coordinator, as a top assistant. What are you learning as you're observing without the pressure of the day to day?
It's been outstanding to see what you don't know. You know, when you're in it, you're immersed in the day to day.
Right.
But when you start to get around the country, you start to look at best practices. Paul, right now for me, I'm probably having the best time of my life in terms of being able to Q&A guys, getting into rooms, listening to coaches talk football, really just sitting back and trying to understand the game a little differently. But I think more than that, just working to fall in love with the game all over again. You know, when you're in it, it's stressful. It's meaningful work. It's extremely hard. Winning in the SEC is probably one of the toughest things that you can do. But to see Kirby, to see where, you know, Coach Saban has been, to see Brian Kelly, you know, man, I really applaud all these guys. These guys right now are making – they're getting their teams ready for the 23 season, and this season is going to be outstanding. Man, we're going to see good football, but for me, getting out and seeing what these coaches are doing, that's really part of my journey right now.
It's easy for us to sit here in the solitude of a dark studio and say, man, these guys, you know, they're making all this money. The pressure comes with that. But you understand that part. But what don't we know about what a head coach goes through on a daily basis?
How much is on the head coach's plate? It's not what it once was. It's not just the ball. It's the, you know, circumstances of 18 to 22 year olds and what they do. You know, you work hard to provide structure. But we talk about culture. I mean, that's one of the most overused words, like in the game now. But where we sit, you know, really what we see is just little things that pop up. Okay, I mean, that takes your focus off of what everybody wants it to be. Everybody wants it to be about just winning, but winning sometimes takes a back seat to being able to talk to a student athlete about something that's happened, a loss of a loved one. We talk about maybe a hurricane or maybe a shooting. There's so much happening in the world, and it's not like we're just in a singular bubble. A lot of things are happening, and so coaches are having to manage these things. And, you know, giving these guys credit, I know their staffs are bigger, but when you still sit at the top, the responsibility is on you to make sure that the journey for the young person is the right journey.
And, Coach, you've touched on some really incredibly important things. When you layer on top of that recruiting with NIL, and especially dealing with the portal where players can walk out almost at any time, how does that add to the equation, which is already very tumultuous and confusing?
Yeah, you know, what's happening is that it's becoming transactional. You know, everything's about the transaction. And football was very much, or any sport was very much about relationships. But now the relationships are sort of being taken out of it, and it's becoming transactional. So what we're doing now is trying to find that new ground where you can still nurture and develop and have a young person see that it may take a little time, but while we're getting you there, we're still going to skill set you and understand that we're trying to make it the best that we can for you. NIL is not for every student athlete. Every student athlete now believes, man, that they're entitled to NIL, and they are, you know, man, per the courts, but there's still got to be a value on the degree. There's still got to be a value on the journey itself. Now, I'm speaking more for football because football looks different than other sports. It's still being in the locker room with 115 other guys and taking that journey. Let me tell you something. You can't buy that journey. You can look at a lot of things, but, you know, those people wind up being the same people that are in your wedding. They wind up being people that you name your children after. That's really what it looks like. But I think more than that, too, coaches are working harder now to make sure, man, that they can get it right. Because if you don't get it right, the transfer portal is looming. And so it's looking at best practices and trying to really focus on what it takes to make sure that your program can stay in the fight.
But it's such a structured sport, and, mm-hmm. and it's built on discipline. But when a player comes to see you and says, "I need whatever I need," and you pay him, how do you structure discipline the next day with that guy? Because you've lost something, have you not?
You have, but here's what we talk about in the sport, within the walls. You know, man, money comes and goes. The thing that you do, the work that you do, is really about the person you become. So we've got to continue to work on, okay, man, who are we developing? Because it doesn't matter. Like 10 years from now, you're not going to remember the $40,000 that you got or the $50,000 that you got. But the lessons gleaned that day. How hard did you work that day? How did you stack that work on top of good work? That's what gives you a chance beyond the NIL to go be relevant. And that's what we're talking about. How are these young people going to be relevant? Because NIL is not for everybody. It's available to everybody, but it's not for everybody.
We watch seasons and certain snapshots become part of the tableau of what we got through watching. I'm curious from your side, how fine a line is there between winning and losing?
We look at that line and it's fine. It's hard. It's the difference between a Mr. Made field goal. It's the difference between an injury of a player. It's the difference of a development of a backup quarterback. It's the difference of did we get the second and third defensive lineman that we needed in recruiting. You know, all these things sort of line up in the fabric of what we call winning. A lot of it is your day-to-day due diligence. And some of it is just luck and opportunity. And we say that we create our own luck. You know, we can do all the right things and still find ourselves an injury away from making a national title game. We can find ourselves being a drop pass or a tackle for loss away from being able to where you know, we take the next step. That's how close it is. It really is a game of inches, and the inches are measured not just in, you know, those lines on the field. It's in the work that we do every day. So everything that we do matters. That's probably a coaching line that probably means the most to coaches than it does anybody else, because everything that you do does matter. You know, I can argue that too, because a heart surgeon is the same way. A dentist is the same way. I think we feel that way about those, but I think a coach feels that way. Everything that we do matters. It builds off of each other, and when you can build it to the point where it's culture driven, and it's in your DNA, you've got a chance for success. And I can look at Coach Saban and Coach Smart, and they've been probably the two strongest examples of what it looks like day in and day out, year in and year out.
You're out of coaching for the first time in
30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
Out of football for the first time in your life.
Probably. That's right.
What's it like to wake up and not have that on top of you? Have you embraced it, or is it a big challenge to deal with?
It's a challenge. I see what happens to players that leave the game with no exit strategy. Right. Now, this was my choice. But even though it's my choice, you know, you're still looking for the thing that drives you. You're still looking for purpose. You're still looking for team. You're still looking for camaraderie. You're still looking for the win, right? And I think that's what people don't quite understand. Once you program yourself to be that way and that's really who you are, it's hard to just say, I'm going to stop. An injury can derail you, and that's different. You know, a mental health can derail you. That's different. But when we talk about making a choice and then looking for the next thing, that's something that most players and most adults, even when they talk about retirement, it's one thing to talk about retirement. It's another thing to be retired.
Finally, before you go, and I know you got a plane to catch, what would compel you, maybe not the best word, but what would entice you to get back in it?
You know, for me right now, I'm looking at team, camaraderie. I'm looking at trying to cultivate different areas of what I do. I still think I have a lot to give to the game. I'm just looking maybe to do it in a different way. And I think that's smart for any coach. I think it's smart for anybody in any profession. You know, people talk about exit strategies. I'm not looking for an exit strategy. I just want to make sure that I can be me. And in doing so, I'm going to make sure that it looks the way I needed to look to be able to go on and do the thing I love to do. I love sports. I love football. I'm going to be associated with it in some shape, form, or fashion until I'm no longer here. But right now, I'm going to step away from it. I'm going to and take this time and live life to the fullest.
Sounds great. tell me how it goes. Derek Mason, it's great to see you.
You too.
Hope to see you soon.
All right, thank you.
We'll head to the break and get Coach to the airport. Fantastic conversation as we continue here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we welcome all of you back. Let's continue with more phone calls after our chat with Derek Mason. Joe is up next. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Mr. Paul. It's been a long time, brother. I move out of town. You don't write no more. You don't call. You don't answer my phone calls. What's up?
Joe, I deeply apologize, but I lost your number.
Oh, okay. I understand. No, we just had some folks come down from Auburn, and they was asking why I hadn't been calling you lately, and want to get your opinion on what you think about the new coach going to Auburn since they got the man they want now.
Joe, I feel good. I really like Hugh Freeze. When I saw him the other day, he looks energized and he's coaching like Auburn needed an adult to coach, and I think they have that now. I think Harsin was just a bad choice. The end of Malzahn was bitter, and I think for the first time in memory, Auburn is aligned and heading in the right direction.
Well, you and I both feel the same way. You know how I felt about the bus, as much as I cussed about him to you.
Well, he just simply, I mean, he peaked out his first year and had a few moments after that, but it there were so many things wrong and there were so many people heading in different directions that he needed to go.
Yeah, I agree, and you know that from past conversations, but I'll start watching you again. I've just been busy.
Well, thank you.
Contacting you again.
Well, Joe,
now
I have,
you know where I'm at in Florida now.
Where are you?
I'm in PCB.
Okay. You're not far.
So you know. Yeah. But you know where I'm at. I won't be seeing you on the weekends anymore that much, but we'll stay in touch.
Okay. Well, Joe, I'm glad you're back, and I'll check you out if I'm in that vicinity. Ivy is in Missouri. Hello, Ivy.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I appreciate you taking my call. It's an honor.
Thank you.
For me to get to talk to you. Are you hearing me clear?
I hear you very well.
Good, good. I'm calling you actually from the banks of the crystal clear current river that's in Missouri. But I grew up about 20 minutes from West Memphis all my life. I was born and raised in a little town called Forest City.
Sure.
And I've actually been dropped off in West Memphis before. So I know exactly what he was trying to say.
That is not where you want to be dropped off.
That's just the way it goes. Sir?
Yeah, I mean, people confuse West Memphis. It's not like a suburb of Memphis. It's across the river. It's another world.
It is a different world, and it's a long swim across the river.
It is.
So, it's totally different.
Nobody has ever made it.
But the gentleman made a comment, though, about, everyone from Arkansas not being very bright or too smart. And, I kind of take exception to that a little bit. I think there's fans that are delusional with all college teams. And I know, as a Hog fan all my life, we were kind of that way, but doesn't mean that we're very dumb. Matter of fact, the guy like him that can't figure out at the end of our statements when we say woo pig suey, he can't figure out that. It's what we're saying. I don't know which one of us is brighter than the other one, on it. But what I wanted to call about was not really him. It was about, what's the name of the caller that calls in from the ocean, from the
That is Dwayne, who is currently on the oil rig working about 100 miles out in the of the Gulf.
Yes, sir. I tell you what, Jim calls in and does a decent job, but I hate to say it, but he's getting kind of old, it's about what he comes up with all the time. And Larry's cool, and I really like Iron Man. I said, one of these days it'd be pretty cool to meet him and you, but I think this Dwayne or whatever his name is probably, he's the funniest guy I think I've heard on there in forever, I'm talking about. I hope he keeps calling every day, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Ivy, the call, and we will never replay it again, I can promise you, it was it was one of the funnier moments we've had here. It was a classic, one of those, you had to be here, you had to hear it. If you didn't hear it, ask your friends. Great to hear from you. Thank you so much for the call. We head to the break. We are back. We still have a long way to go on a Thursday afternoon. We've had Coach Donnan on. We had Coach Mason a minute ago, Chris Lowe, a number of other guests, and we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Pembroke is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Pembroke.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. I hope you're well.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I'm thrilled to death that Coach Saban is on a two-week vacation. He deserves it as well as anyone I've ever known. And I thought that Daryl earlier, that was hilarious. That's all I'll say about that. As far as Alabama football goes, I think that, and tell me if I'm wrong, that, if Saban's on vacation, that means the guys that he's just put in those positions are working hard.
Yeah, I have this weird feeling, like you have a security system at home. And
exactly.
And you can get your phone out and see certain whatever rooms you have. I have a feeling Saban is sitting over there in Rome tonight, watching his assistant coaches and seeing what they're doing.
Oh, absolutely. That's great. Well, I have another question for you. It's not necessarily with football, but it does have to do with Tuscaloosa.
Sure.
So yesterday was the anniversary. 5/17/77, when the Grateful Dead played in Tuscaloosa. And my question to you was to see if you ever saw the Grateful Dead.
Regrettably, no. I was a student in Knoxville at that time, and they never made
right.
their way through Knoxville when I was there. But
right.
I don't think I really appreciated them during college. I don't know why I didn't, considering what I was up to. But I,
sure, I understand.
Did you see them?
75 times.
75. I mean, you're in
yes,
Bill
sir.
Walton land right now.
Well, I don't know that I'm nowhere near Bill Walton land, but
that's
but,
okay. I want you to explain to the audience. First of all, the Grateful Dead were, an amazing group, fronted by Jerry Garcia. But the thing about the group, which I need to understand better, because I have friends who have been to many concerts, but the Deadheads just simply go back continuously. And explain to all of us why.
Well, I will tell you, the first time I ever saw him was in 1988 at the Omni in Atlanta, and they played one night. And I looked around. I was young. I was probably 17 or 18. And I looked around, and everybody was dancing. There was not a soul in the whole auditorium or Coliseum, whatever the Omni was, was sitting still, and everybody was moving. And it was a really, I think it was probably, you know, looking back on things, and I have a degree from Auburn University in Montgomery, and I have a culinary degree from Culinard in Birmingham.
Wow.
And, I say that just to say that, you know, it was quite an experience. And I still don't consider myself what they'd say is a deadhead, but you know, I think I qualify, but regardless, I think that it was at the time, and I got in on the whole thing at the very end, Mr. Feinbaum. You know, it was 1988 until Jerry died, and towards the end, I knew it was getting close to the end. And you know, it's sad, but you know, they've continued playing the music. But as far as the Grateful Dead go, it was a great experience. I went to so many different places up the East Coast, and the furthest west I ever saw them was in Las Vegas. I saw them there twice, and it was an amazing thing to do. You know, I was young and I was in school and out of school and having a great time and learning a lot about the country. So, and at the whole time, you know, always screaming Roll Tide.
were the shows different depending on where you saw them?
They were. And that's probably the question that you were asking. They were, and I've had people over the years ask me, well, Pembroke, isn't it the same thing every night? And absolutely not. That was the beautiful thing about it. They had such a catalog of songs that either they had written or had been written for them, and or cover songs, famous cover songs. And they would, you know, pick and choose, and they'd have a different set list, two different set lists and an encore every night. And they did it for... You know, God, they did it for 30 plus years.
That's remarkable. Well, Pembroke, I appreciate the call. I've seen a lot, but I haven't seen them, and I'm obviously not going to now. Jake in Atlanta. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Paul. How's it going? First time caller.
Thank you.
Appreciate you for having me. I guess I'll start off by saying I'm not going to talk about Nick Saban because that's all anyone does now, and I'll be the one to say I'm really sick of it as a Georgia fan. But I really just want to hear your thoughts on Georgia's quarterback battle. They've got three really, really good prospects with Gunner, Brock, and Carson, and we've even got Dylan Rayola on the way. And so I just really want to hear your thoughts on it. And how is Mike Bobo, you know, coming back to Georgia as the new offensive coordinator, how is that going to affect things? And do you think that'll maybe bring a negative effect, or maybe a positive effect to Kirby, because you know they played together in the 90s.
We had Jim Donnan on earlier, who coached Bobo and Kirby, and he made a really good point. He said they were roommates in college; they're close friends. That can have a ceiling, but I think it's important that Kirby is around not only Bobo but Will Muschamp, a group of people that he can lean on, but also will shoot straight. And that's always something that. You know, the mega coaches, and Kirby is certainly one of them, don't always get the truth from the assistant coaches. I think he will get that. I think you lose a lot with Munkin gone. He was innovative. He was creative. But mm-hmm. I don't think it's as much as some of the cynics believe it is, because Bobo has been part of that system before. He was mm-hmm. part of it last year, and I think that will help. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. Two more hours to go. We appreciate you being here on a Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.